And welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. We're talking education during this segment. Earlier this morning, I spoke with teacher and author Dave Burgess about his New York Times best-selling book, Teach Like a Pirate. He begins by explaining the concept.
So it has nothing to do with the dictionary definition and everything to do with the spirit. So this isn't about wanting teachers to go out and attack and rob ships at sea, or it doesn't have anything to do with Somalia or anything like that. It's more the spirit of a pirate, which to me is someone who is unconventional, someone who's willing to reject the status quo, if that's what's necessary, someone who's willing to sail into uncharted waters with no guarantee of success, a risk taker, a maverick in the classroom. So it has to do with the spirit of the pirate. And in addition to that, the P-I-R-A-T-E of the word pirate is an acronym. So each one of those letters is a part of the Teach Like a Pirate system.
Explain that then. Each letter.
So for example, the P stands for passion, and it's all about how we can become more passionate as teachers, understanding, though, that we're not necessarily passionate about everything that we teach. So how can we bring passion on a consistent basis? So that's all about the passion. The E stands for enthusiasm and how to become more enthusiastic. The T, transformation, about transforming education and what education means in the lives of kids. And so every single one of the letters stands for something. Then you also have this whole metaphor of the hook, like a pirate hook, where it's about designing wildly creative lessons that will draw kids in and hook them into the lessons that you're teaching.
At any point, should a teacher talk like a pirate?
You know what? In September, they can do it on one day, on the Talk Like a Pirate Day. Other than that, not necessary. But absolutely, the spirit of the pirate should be every day.
And let me figure out how best to phrase this question. Do teachers get burned out, and do they need this push, this advice? I mean, you think of it as a parent that, yeah, teachers should be passionate all of the time anyway, aren't they? So do they need this spark to reignite their own passion in teaching?
Yeah, you know, I think they do. There's a lot going on in the educational world right now, and people's commentary about the educational world, that's kind of led to a point where morale is pretty low for a lot of teachers out there, and unnecessarily so. Teaching is one of the mightiest professions, one of the mightiest purposes you could ever be engaged in. It's a life-changing profession, but too often outside forces have tried to draw teachers' attention towards things that really aren't the significant stuff of teaching, like an overemphasis on standardized test scores, for example. And you know what? It's not just about raising test scores. It's about raising human potential. We're in the life-changing business, literally the life-changing business. And when we can start to bring our focus, our attention to those higher purpose, mightier reasons for doing what we do, then teaching as a profession is very easy to get pumped up to come to school in the morning.
So if the teacher is passionate about a topic, the students will also?
Absolutely. Passion and enthusiasm are two of the most contagious things in the world. So you can't ask for a student to be enthusiastic about a topic which you don't have any enthusiasm for. So that's something that rubs off, and they can sense your love for the topic, your love for teaching, your love of learning. And developing that love of learning is one of the most important things that we do as teachers.
And you're coming to South Dakota June 18th and 19th. Tell me a little bit about that event.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to be doing a free and open to the public keynote presentation on the 18th, and I'd love to see as many people as possible there. It's going to be a super high energy. I use magic as part of the presentation, sort of a showmanship and creativity as part of the presentation. I do a lot of modeling of the strategies, and hopefully it's the teachers that show up that night are going to leave ready to knock down walls to get back into their classroom and create amazing experiences for kids. That's what I always tell teachers, is don't just teach a lesson, create an experience for kids. Lessons are easily forgotten, but experiences live forever. So we're going to talk about that. And the next morning, I'm also going to be doing a Teach Like a Pirate workshop, where we're going to be talking more specifically about how to add these kind of ideas to your classroom.
Does it need to be a different approach, especially if you're talking, some of the STEM core subjects versus a different subject?
Yeah, well, I think in general, good teaching is good teaching across curriculum. But I do think that STEM, there are some unique things. Like, I think right now, much of education, there's too much emphasis on rote memorization and remember, you know, just trivial details and consuming information, as having the students consume information. And we want to get more into students creating and seeing themselves as creative forces in the world. And the world is changing so rapidly. Sometimes what's more important is to teach that ability to adapt and to create, as opposed to memorizing a bunch of stuff for some bubble test.
How does this apply with figuring out how individual students learn?
So this is a big part of the Teach Like a Pirate system, in that one of the things that teachers can do is, rather than spend so much time trying to get students interested in what we're talking about as teachers, we could spend more time taking what we're talking about and tying it into what they're already engaged in. So that's one of a secret form of hooks for lessons, is trying to take more of a look at, hey, what are my students into and how does this apply to them? How can we make this real world? A lot of learning, students ask themselves, like, when am I ever going to use this, or why do I need to know this? And so that's a question that teachers need to be able to answer in a very authentic way for kids.
So we hear a lot about Common Core standards, and we hear a lot about project-based learning. Is teaching shifting, requirements shifting, or is it just the catchphrase and really what you need to know is still what you need to know?
I think it's kind of a combination of both. I definitely think that the movement for more project-based learning is a good one. I think that providing students with a real-world audience is important, and having them actually come up with something that's meaningful and relevant in the world around them is super important. And the Common Core standards, when properly applied, I think they can be a positive thing, because it's about more critical thinking as opposed to just learning some information to spit back out on a test. I still worry whenever there's if there's still going to be an overemphasis on the test score and teaching to the test, then that always worries me. But I'm hopeful that maybe this is a new direction that will be positive.
Teacher and author Dave Burgess speaking with me earlier this morning. He'll make his presentation in South Dakota June 18th and 19th at the Rural Enhancement of Math and Science Teachers Conference at SDSU. And joining me now is Sharon Vestal. She is an associate professor at South Dakota State University, and she's written an interesting op-ed piece called Where Have All the Teachers Gone? Sharon, welcome to Innovation, and thanks for taking time today. Sharon, can you hear me? Oh,
yes,
there you are.
You.
Okay, good. Thanks
for
being
me.
Here. So let's start and talk a little bit. You're also involved with this event, June 18th and 19th as well, correct?
Yes. The REMAS scholarship program is an NSF-funded scholarship program that was funded in 2007. So this is kind of our last year of funding. And the scholarships go to students who will be science or math teachers, and they get the scholarship the last 2 years of the program, and then they have to teach in a certain type of school district a year for every semester they've had the scholarship.
Okay. And so there is a shortage still, even with all of this attention and efforts to entice more people, there's still a shortage.
Yes. I've noticed our numbers I'm in the math department at SDSU, and I've noticed our numbers have gone down. Like last year we graduated probably about 15 math teachers out of SDSU, and this year five. And I unfortunately see that trend being downward. It's kind of been cyclical. It's kind of been up and down, but I kind of see it going downward a little bit now. And I'm still getting, I'm on the listserv to get ads for science and math teachers in the state, and I'm still getting, there's still being ads placed for teachers almost every day.
Wow. Why? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that some people, there's some retirement. There's a lot of teachers that are retirement age, so I think they're retiring. I also think some of the districts, because of the Common Core State Standards, or Common Core Standards for Mathematics, I think they might be hiring like an extra teacher that they didn't before, and so they're adding some staff in that sense.
Okay.
I also think there's teachers just leaving teaching.
Is it too hard? I mean, are there? I don't mean it that way. I mean, are there so many other requirements that you need to focus on instead of just teaching students? Is that the motivation to leave?
I think there's a lot of pressure being placed on teachers because of standardized testing and the new evaluation system that's coming in our state. And in general, South Dakota does have the lowest teacher pay in the nation, which I think is another factor.
So what else, I mean, how do we get these kids excited about math and science to begin with, and then to want to pass that excitement, that passion on and become a math and science teacher?
I think if I had the answer to that question, I would be a very
we wouldn't have
person.
A problem.
Yeah. No, I think that's why I wanted to bring Dave Burgess here, because mm-hmm. he has that passion and he really can portray that. And his book talks about, you know, being exciting and motivating your students. And I think that can make a huge difference to a student to walk into a classroom. And if the teacher's excited, they're going to be more likely to be excited. And I'm not saying that our teachers currently aren't excited and they're not currently doing a good job, because there are, South Dakota has amazing math and science teachers. But sometimes, like I noticed you were talking with him about, they just need like some new energy, or they need to be re-energized. And I think this mm-hmm. is a good opportunity for that.
But reignite that spark. Reintroduce yourself to that passion. That's in any profession.
Right, I agree. I think it's true in a lot of professions, yes.
Mm-hmm. The people who can come to this, is this for just the new teachers? Is it for existing teachers, this event on June 18th and 19th?
Well, the conference is centered around our scholarship program, so we are bringing in those alumni. Mm-hmm. However, it is open to the public. His keynote address at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, June 18th, is free and open to the public. There are, if they want to come to the entire conference, there's some minimal registration fees to cover the cost of meals if they want to eat with us. So, and there's a lot of good conversation that goes on during the lunch and the dinner, you know, and so a lot of good ideas get shared. And so there is a link to a registration page that was in the Teach Like a Pirate press release that came out recently.
Okay. And we will add that to our website as well. Where does the passion need to come from, do you think? Does it need to come from parents at home encouraging kids to become teachers, or is it in the classroom, passing the torch, so to speak? Or how do we get more young people to want to be a math and science teacher?
I think parents, they obviously have a huge influence on children. I think the teachers themselves. I also think that we're seeing a lot of informal education opportunities. Like, for example, recently the Brookings Library opened their summer reading program. It's a science theme, so they had like an opening party where they had different science displays and math displays that kids could go kind of play with. I think those type of events have a lot of potential for causing kids to become more interested in math and science. So I think we need to see more of that. I know 4-H is doing some of those. The Boys and Girls Club are doing those. the Washington Pavilion, the Children's Museum in Brookings. There's lots of different places where you can go and let your kids experience math and science in an informal setting. And I think those are the kind of programs that we need to support.
And does the legislature and elected officials need to weigh in and do things that can entice people into the profession or do more?
Yes, and they have done a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know that this coming year there's a scholarship program that can fund students but for that are going to become teachers in certain types of disciplines. I'm not sure that it's not funded, though, I don't think, beyond this coming year. So, I mean, it needs to be something that's ongoing. And, yes, we definitely need our elected officials. I also think we need to start talking with industry, because if we don't have good science and math teachers, our students are going to have a harder time going into STEM disciplines, and that's going to create a shortage of workers. And I think we're already starting to see some of that at the industry level in South Dakota, and they're trying to find workers, and they don't necessarily aren't able to find ones that have the correct skill set. So I think that industry can also play an important part in helping this issue.
So there's going to be a ripple effect.
Yes, and I think we're already starting to see some of that. I mean, this is the first year I've really seen this many science and math openings. I mean, there's always been a lot, but especially certain districts have a higher turnover. But now, I mean, even districts like Brookings and Watertown are having a hard time recruiting teachers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've had that problem in the past.
That problem before. Okay. Well, Sharon, I want to thank you for taking the time and joining me on the program today.
Well, thank you.